Okay, let's finish up where we left off. Let me see where 14. We are. All right, Matthew.
5:14.
Al is Johnny on the spot.
The light of the world.
We talked about the salt last week. Mm-hmm.
Matthew.
And
yeah, that was a good list.
Sounds like, all right. So now we're going to talk about the light. And so let me just show you that scripture again. You're the salt of the earth, just a review. You're the salt of the earth, but the salt has lost its savor. Wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and be trodden under the foot of men. So salt was very valuable in that economy back then. In fact, it was almost a bartering tool for trade. It was a form of currency in some places. So it's very precious. All right. And Christ in this parable is making the comparison that Christians are like salt. And we already looked at in the natural what salt does. Salt is a preservative. Salt makes seasons things so it goes down a little bit better. So because we're Christians and we're salt, we have the words of life that can help preserve life. Keep somebody from going down the wrong way to hell. We also have such a way that we can present the gospel that it's going to be easy for people to swallow and partake. And as we saw the other parables, we don't try to beat the devil out of people. All right? We want them to know. Because a lot of people, because of their mistakes that they made in their life, they beat themselves up enough. So we want to be able to give them that hope so that that word and that gospel can be partaken a little bit easier as it goes down and gives them hope. Okay. So now he goes into this next parable along the same vein, and he says about the light. So we're going to spend some time with the light, all right? Verse 14, ye are the light of the world. Who is the light of the world? We are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle. I want you to highlight that. Neither do men light a candle. Who lights the candle? Man. Man lights the candle in this example and put it under a bushel, all right, but on a candlestick. And it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Verse 16, one of my favorite verses. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. I know a lot of us have memorized that. I love that verse. It's, you know, when I was growing up, they had that little song. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Sing, people. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine. You off key, Sandra. Let it shine. All in the... Oh, anyway, I'm saying... All right. Praise the Lord. And I used to sing that song as a child, and I did not really know what the heck I was singing about. It just had a good note there, a good rhythm. But I thought about it today, that's exactly what this is talking about, letting the light shine. So, let's look at it in the natural, figure out what is so special about light, its properties, what it does, and then we'll be able to understand in the spiritual realm what this parable is really saying to us today. It will mess you, it will encourage you. Okay, there you go. All right, so we took the element of salt. Oh, and I love that note that Roger gave. I highlight here, salt can also be useless if it becomes impure. Remember, and I was talking about this today at the prison. Remember the parable of the great net, and you got good fish and bad fish? Well, a question came up. Can a bad fish be converted to a good fish?
Anything can happen
to Jesus. Yes, it can. And in the natural example, I remember my dad used to hate catching catfish. Because, he wouldn't throw them back necessarily, but he just hated it because, you got to You got to, you know, cut around the head. You got to get the pliers. You got to strip the skin off. It's some work involved in the catfish. And it's a scavenger.
Right.
Absolutely, right. So in the Bible, it's unclean fish, whatever. You know. So he didn't fish for catfish. He fished for bass and crappie and you know that kind of game fish. Well, all of a sudden, somebody introduced to him a fillet knife.
Okay.
All of a sudden, catfish were no longer rejected.
Wonderful.
Yeah. Oh, and then he went to go play pinochle at somebody's house, and somebody discovered unto him a deep fryer. And he got some of this deep fried catfish.
And that sold him.
Mm. Woo!
He was a governor.
All of a sudden, the rejected fish has become the preferred fish. So, just like what Roger said weeks ago, if the bad fish hang around the good fish, they might become an acceptable fish as the net draws closer to shore. Is that like? Can a good fish be rejected?
Yes. Rejected.
Mm-hmm. Well, rejected by man, but I sure don't want to be rejected by God.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember that one day my dad caught a wonderful game fish. Bass, I think it was. And we had to throw it back. Because it had these little red worms in it.
You could see them?
You could see them.
Was it scarred?
It wasn't scars. It was a parasite.
Okay.
And it was a parasite in that particular water, and it had gotten into the population of the fish, and I had to throw it away.
Mm-hmm.
Couldn't keep it. And it reminded me what Roger said about the salt. Sometimes salt can become impure.
Mm-hmm.
So we got to be careful as we look at this thing that we got this big net. And we want to make sure that we watch to make sure that as the net grows closer to shore and judgment comes, that we're good fish and helping to convert the bad fish into good fish as the net and the time draws.
Angels does that now. Angels does that. We don't have nothing to do with
that. Oh, God forbid we become contaminated and we go, look, I'm a good fish. And then all of a sudden God says, nah, you got some stuff wrong with you. And off you go. All right, so that was last week. So here we go. Let's look at this. Ye are the light of the world. A city that's set on a hill cannot be hid. All right, so he compares us to light. What does light do? I put it in my notes. Light chases away darkness. It shines on things and lets you know that stuff is in the way. So you don't get up to use the bathroom in the middle of the night and stub your toe, your pinky toe, against the side of the bed. Amen. Yeah.
Chuck, here's the thing. Light can go into the darkness, but darkness cannot go into the light.
Oh, look at that.
Okay.
So the light chases away the darkness. It lets you see things that you could not see in the dark before. Oh, I just said something. All right. So I got a question. So where is this light that he's talking about?
Is it not just
because
he's in
us? And where did we get it from?
From the light.
The light lights us up. And then, okay, so we got to make sure. Okay, so you got to make sure you're messing with the right light. Because you got some different kinds of light out there.
Black light.
All right. Yeah, black light. Yeah, you know.
There is such a thing.
You got disco ball lights. I mean, you know. Harley don't know nothing about that. We should have to Google that with the disco ball. All right. So, Sandra laughing because she knows she had a finger in the air going.
Night fever.
Anyway. Oh, Lord Jesus. Stay safe now. Stay safe. Here we go. All right. So, So Christ is that light that dwells in us, and we radiate. We're a reflection of the light. Like the sun shines on the moon, and when you see the moon lit up at night, it is really not the light from the moon. It is the sun reflecting off the moon, and we are a reflection of the light that he put inside of us. Okay? All right.
Oh, yeah, that's good.
No, it is. Anyway.
John, he was very, very descriptive about Jesus being the light.
We are going to talk about, I don't know if we're going to do it today, but we're going to go all over John chapter 1. We need to figure out about this light. All right. I got a question. You know our seven-step process. It's on the board. Humble, repent, new mind, Holy Spirit, mercy, triumph, victory through trials, peace. What step in the seven-step process could this be in receiving the light of Christ?
Holy Spirit.
Woo! Well, all right, let's see, just, all right, that's it right there, number four. All right, you got it. All right, good. All right. So in order to receive this powerful light from Jesus, we must go through the steps to get to level four so that we know that the light is inside of us. Right. Which means we must, one, humble ourselves and recognize that we need God. Yeah. Two,
repent.
Mm-hmm. Put that black light in the closet.
Get rid of
that black light. All right. And go put your hope. Three, and the resurrected life, the gospel.
Yeah.
And I'm trusting by faith in the gospel. And that thy word is a light, lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. And so when you have the gospel and you understand the word of God and you put faith in his promises, the Holy Spirit starts to come in and will start to guide you. And that is that light. Got it? Follow the sequence. Can you try to get to the Holy Spirit without following those other two or three steps?
No.
I don't know what light you'd be lining up, but you'd be the wrong light. All right? Thoughts, comments? Good, Roger?
Yeah, the light unto your feet means, a lamp to your feet to me means it's lighting the path that shows the stumbling blocks in the way.
Yes, so that you don't hit your pinky toe.
So you don't step off the path.
Absolutely. Just turn on the light. Just turn on the light. The children of Israel had this light. They had the pillar of cloud in the day, and they had the pillar of fire representing the Holy Spirit at night. When the light stopped,
They stopped.
When the light moved,
they moved.
Did they follow the light? Yeah. Yes, they did. Application for today.
Follow
the light, stupid. That's it. Follow the light.
The first thing God said in Genesis 1.
Look at you. Say it.
Yeah.
I am.
It says, let there be light.
Amen.
And there was light. And God saw the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. Which to me, I was thinking about this one day. That's an example of our salvation, the first thing. Because we're dark, void, empty, and we got to have the light to come on. And he's the one, when we call out to him and say, yes, come in, he comes in and he turns on the light.
Amen.
This morning my fridge was leaking and he came in and told me to turn off the water.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Alright, yeah. Turn the water off.
Alright.
Alright. Now, let's look at this parable. Let's look at this in the natural. Alright. So notice what he says here. He says, you're the light of the world. Talking to us. Which means we are valuable to the world because we're that light that shows them where those stumbling blocks are. Okay? A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Why do you set the city on a hill?
So
So it can be seen. Ha! Huh.
As a fortress, too. For protection.
And at nighttime, you can see the city lit up.
The city can see who's coming.
But it's also even greater importance that we can see the city so we know how to
get there.
Oh, wow.
Beacon.
Trying to get to the holy city. Okay, all right. All right. There you go. Okay. I might have to think about that. All right. Cities reveal a tremendous amount of light. All right. So, if the city is set on the hill, where does God want to put us?
He wants us to be seen.
Woo! He wants us to be seen. So the purpose of putting a city on a hill is so that the city can be seen. All right. The purpose of putting the light on a candlestick and not under a bushel is so that from that candlestick, it can be used to illuminate the entire house. Mm-hmm. Application for today from this parable is, God wants to light us up, not so that we can be hidden, but he wants to elevate us and put us in a position so that the world and others can see
him and us.
Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah. I don't know exactly what that looks like, but he's going to put you in a... So expect to be elevated or put in a position where people will come to you like a moth to the light, all right, and hover around you and try to figure out how you're able to get through or got through what you're going through so that you can light up their world so that they can be encouraged and have faith to not fall into dark times. You got to think about that for a minute. He wants to, on purpose, light you up and put you in a position so that you can light somebody else in the world. Does that mean it's only limited to preachers and pastors who are put in a
position? No.
Okay.
Everybody.
All those who have followers. Followers.
Because he's talking to everybody that has the light. Right. So once you get to step four, you can expect him to elevate you so that you should exercise step five so that somebody else can see what he has put in you.
But continuously, you're going back to step one.
Because it's like the Ever Ready Bunny. I got, you know, so I got this toothbrush. You know, I got one of those, you know, toothbrushes are kind of, new toothbrush or whatever. Yeah, electric toothbrush, that's what I'm trying to say. Well, they're electric. It does not have a cord. It's battery powered. All right. So lately, it ain't been rotating like I wanted to rotate. It ain't got no plug. Why y'all keep going with Susan on this electric toothbrush? It's not an electric toothbrush. It's got batteries in it.
Thank you very much.
Oh, yes. And so I'm brushing my teeth one day, and all of a sudden, the little spinning thing, it ain't spinning no more. It stopped spinning on my
battery.
What do you say?
The battery did.
Well, it ain't all the way dead. It's still... Well, I ain't got the recharge or whatever. Yeah, so it's still... Well, amen, I'll go with that or whatever. Yeah. But I said, well, maybe I can get two or three more days out of this.
No.
So then I got so lazy that I decided, well, you know what? It's spinning good enough. And then I just started going back to the old way. What is my problem?
You're not letting the power of the brush do what it's supposed to
do. I already recognize that. Oh, my goodness, that might preach right there.
It's like you're not letting the power of the Holy Spirit
in
you do what he needs to do.
So what you're saying with my toothbrush example the toothbrush is designed to work a certain way. Right. It's not working a certain way. So I'm just going to make it work the way I want it to work. I already recognize that I have it. What's that?
God bless
I'm already humble. I already know that I need to move, make a move. I'm stuck in step number two. I already know I need to do something, but I'm not plugged in. You know what? You're just going to keep going into the electricity thing.
Let me tell you, you're on the wrong path.
Let me just go on and fix this real quick. I repented and got some batteries and put it in there. After it took me 3 days, though. You know. It took me 3 days. Well, hey, I'm just doing what Jesus did. Took him 3 days.
Hold on.
I think you have. All right. So now the brush is doing what it was designed to do. So yes, Susan, with all that pain that I just went through to say yes, you are absolutely correct. You must go through those steps to make sure that your life is still doing what it was designed to do.
Yeah.
Amen.
It's so easy, like Susan said. We always gotta go back to humility because it's so easy in this world to get out of humility and get on the other track.
Yeah, yeah.
It's so easy.
I just brush my teeth like I did back in the old days.
Return.
And what happens
every
if
day.
Your lamp is unplugged, your light doesn't shine. If you're not plugged in to the source, you're not going to have a light. Ooh.
Which means you've got to always go back to make sure you're plugged into the right source.
Yes.
So I wonder if we're recognizing what that really means for us. Because like sometimes we're thinking it means this big thing, but I think it's just in everyday life. God is saying, hey, you've got things that have happened in your life or that are happening in your life that I want to use those things to shine in other people's life and help them. You know, because it says in 2 Corinthians 1, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction, so we will be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. And he's just been reminding me of that. I mean, sometimes we think, but it's just like, let God do it. Just let God fight them all.
Sometimes we think that platform has to be the pulpit or something big. But it's just an elevated place that God places you. And then he expects something from you. Oh, man. Yes. Right.
He didn't expect six things from us, but now he's praying and he says, apparently God wants my attention and wants me to know that he's listening to me and I shouldn't be in such despair. And she was just so grateful that two total strangers just said a very small act to him that changed his whole life.
I don't mean to pick on him, especially since this is their first day back or whatever, but and stop me if I'm off. But I look at Davey and Katie. And I scratch my head and I go, I don't get it. I don't understand fully. And I've not experienced that from a child. Parents, probably a little different. But I recognize the light in them. And the tragedy there was put him on a pedestal. And I didn't really see it in the spiritual until I started looking at the parable. It placed him in a position that we all started looking at him. And my fear was, will he doubt and stop? trusting in the giver because of what's happening in the outside circumstances. And the whole time, I didn't see it. It might have happened. And maybe he had to keep doing that recycling or whatever. But I never saw a wavering of the light that was in him. And if it was, he must have recharged. Because it increased my faith. Mm-hmm. It made me feel like I really wanted to be a better friend to them both. It didn't delay the plans that they had for their future. And let me just ask this question in the midst of that tragedy. Was anybody here encouraged, enlightened, and being able to see through some dark circumstances just because of what he went through and how he went through it, both him and Katie? So do you know why I lost my mind when I saw them walk through the room? Because that's my brother and my sister, and that's the light.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. All I saw was Jesus walk through the door, despite what they went through. Mm-hmm. And has anybody gone through anything? The little things that we're facing now, are they anything in comparison to what they just went through? No. This little thing here, this is nothing. In comparison, I lost a racquetball game a couple of days ago. It messed my day up for two hours.
That's why I had to quit playing tennis.
No. That's why. Yeah. I played racquetball. And I played real bad, and the guy that was my partner said, "You know, they didn't score 8 points." I know they scored 8 points on me. Made me feel bad. I mean, for 2 hours, it messed up my day. And just, anyway.
You have to be humble at times to appreciate the wins.
Yeah, well, you know, sometimes the wins get you proud of. But so, you don't necessarily have to look for a platform in the world that says, oh, it's got to be this platform. And God may very well elevate you to a platform of where a greater amount of the world sees. But you just don't realize, as long as you reflect the light of Christ in you, somebody's going to see it, because God's going to put you in a position where you can be seen. And good gracious. Mm-hmm. I hope I didn't offend.
You didn't. Thank you for everything you said.
Yeah. Let's move on. All right. I highlight it. People don't light a candle to hide it. Think about the parable in the natural. I got a I'm going to have to type that in there. It does not make sense. I got to type that in there.
Well, other people try to hide it. Other people try to hide your life.
Yes. It doesn't even make sense. So it's a black out or whatever. I don't have a generator or whatever. You know, electricity gone or whatever. And I got these candles. I light the candle, and then I stick it under the bed.
Don't set the bed on fire.
The purpose, you put it on a candlestick. So that it's stupid. So, you're right. It is stupid. And if you light the candle, aren't you lighting it on purpose?
Yes.
I mean, if I come to the house and the kids are playing with a candle, I'm like, how'd that candle get lit? No, you lit it on purpose. Trying to burn my house down. So you light a candle on purpose for the purpose of it showing.
Hey, Joe.
Yes.
Early in my Christian life, as a younger man, I went to a Promise Keepers.
Oh, yeah.
Inside the stadium, at the end, they turned off the lights.
Okay.
Everybody there lit a candle.
Okay.
I've never forgotten it.
Like a city set on a hill. Yeah. And when they had you light those candles, did you stick them under your seat?
No.
Hello, you like the dog on Statue of Liberty.
There you go.
Yeah, all right. So that's the parable. in the natural doesn't make sense. God lights us up on purpose. The Holy Spirit, level 4, is a promise. He lights us up on purpose so that we can be seen to show somebody else the way to Him. If we don't show our light, then it's like me and that powerless toothbrush. I'm of no good. Excuse me. I hit my pinky toe on the corner of the bed, and there are lights all over the house. How did I hit my pinky toe on the side of the bed when I've got the power of light all throughout the house? No, I woke up when I hit that pinky toe.
You're not paying attention.
I wasn't paying attention, but I
looking where you're going.
Well, I couldn't see where I was going.
Well, he's thinking, I know how to do this. I don't need the light.
Oh, righteous, just bless you. Bless you, bless you, bless you. So I've got the power. But I never decided that I needed the light. I didn't turn the light on. I just figured, I've been doing this for a while now. I know there's a bed over there somewhere. I figure I can navigate around. And then the bed jumped out, because it wasn't my fault. The bed jumped out and hit my pinky toe.
One of the things that I do, I don't turn on the lights at night when I get up, but I do feel for things like,
So you got to take your time. Yeah. Well, I ain't take my time, because when you get my age, you might not be able to take your time.
You know, once you get
tired, and a lot of I said, y'all laughing because you know what I'm talking about. But see, here's the issue. We don't want to be Christians that have the power and then don't use the power as it was designed.
Right.
Because not only are we in darkness with our purpose, but we don't help others that way.
Yeah. You don't turn a flashlight, look at it in your eyeball. You turn it when you're going.
Amen.
You can blind yourself.
Yeah. Well, so the light needs to be shared. You know, that's another thing. You can have so much light that you're no earthly good because you ain't shining in the right direction. All right. Our light shines such a way that the world will see the good works we do and recognize that this power and light and revelation comes from God, that they would turn and follow God. All right? Now, I got another question there. What step in the seven-step process would be letting your light be seen? We know four is the receipt of the light.
Right.
What step in the process begins to see the light being shown?
Mercy. That's five.
Yeah. You start seeing it in five. Because now you're led by the light to share with others. So really, oh my goodness. Don't get mad at me. This is just a word. If you have the light and you don't share the light, you're really not a very mature Christian. And you're really like Ming the Merciless. You are not exercising mercy. You just don't care about others like God does. Woo! I know it's against the law, but if I drive by a speed trap, and I have received the light that the popo is up ahead. I know it might be against the law. I don't know. I didn't know it was against the law. I think it was okay. I used to think it was okay, but I heard we have policemen in here one day. He said, "Oh no, you can't do that anymore." He said, "Really, I can't do that. I didn't know I could do that. I could not do that." But anyway,
do what?
Flash your lights.
Oh.
Yeah, you ain't supposed to want anybody else.
Yeah.
But the mercy that's inside of me through the revelation that was revealed to me causes me to want to let you know. Now, whatever you do with it, that's up to you. But I think somebody told me you can't do that anymore. I don't know.
I don't think they're going to stop you for it.
I ain't going to take a chance.
Well, you still do it.
Okay, so I've opened up a whole... So let's move on to another example. Let's move on to another example.
Yeah.
You ever had a policeman turn on his blue lights at you because you were a little bit over the speed limit?
A little bit over? Yeah, just a warning. Yeah, I've had that. Yep. And then you see the brake lights come on quick. Anyway, so it's level 5, but it's also level 6. Think about Davy and Katie.
Yeah.
In the tragedy, what level were they operating in the light?
Four.
No.
No. Six.
Because they're going through something. They're going through. Can they find victory in sorrow?
Oh, okay. Triumph.
You're going through something, but the light's still on.
Mm-hmm.
You start reflecting the light on others through the mercy, but then when you go through something, can you still have the light on?
Mm-hmm.
So it starts at 5, but it continues through 6 and 7. And when it starts to get dim and not working, you go back to 1 and you get recharged. Okay. 25. Okay, let me go. Okay. All right. So that's why I said notice the sequence. Notice the sequence. There's a sequence here that appears to be the receiving of the light. Okay? All right. So, got another question. Using that definition of our steps, can you do good works in darkness without the light?
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. You can do good works without the leading of the Holy Spirit.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. All right. It'll probably backfire on you.
Yeah. Eventually. It won't have an eternal value. Right.
But you can do...
The world
does it all the time.
Yeah, that's what makes them think I'm good. I'm a good person.
Which is a deception. Which is a false light. So you actually, so that's why it's so important to make sure that you line up with the steps so you got his light rather than your black light or somebody else's light.
Mm-hmm.
Got to operate the good works in the right light. All right? I got a friend who went on some kind of a drive and they collected a whole bunch of stuff. All right? Now they got all this stuff. They don't know what to do with it. Because the people that they were going to donate it to don't take that stuff. And they did a good thing. But the first thing I question is,
what would you have done?
And did you check with the light? Because if you checked with the light, then you would have been able to go out in advance and know exactly what it is that you need to do and not move in your own and understanding, own power and understanding, and all of a sudden you got a mess on your hands because you did a good thing, perhaps under the wrong motivation or the wrong power, in the wrong way. I don't even put money in a panhandler's hand unless I'm led by the light. Okay. Now, the purpose of salt is to preserve food and make food more enjoyable. The purpose of the light is to reveal. So I highlighted this. Therefore, it appears Jesus is saying in part that the fundamental purpose of Christians is to share the light and understanding that we have in Christ. Because this light will show men the way to eternal life or preservation, like salt, and provide a more abundant life on earth, more enjoyable flavor. Yes. So we have considerable value. Are you valuable in the kingdom? Yes, you are. Are Christians really needed today in the world?
Yes.
Yes. So I don't need to go back through. So I heard somebody say this or whatever. We have a purpose. We need to discover our purpose. I like the purpose-driven life, but I don't necessarily need to read the purpose-driven life to figure out that I have a purpose. I can just read the word and figure out I have a purpose. The light that he puts in me and what he reveals in me, my purpose is to reflect that light back to somebody else. That is my primary purpose in life. Everybody has a purpose. All right? We are born with a purpose. We have to discover what that is. Once you discover your purpose, can anybody stop it? No. They can try. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. Because now you're going back to the parable of the sower and the seed. Was there any defeat in the good soil?
No.
No. Everybody had a measure of success. Keep your mind on the good soil and you cannot fail. Did not say that somebody might try not to mess up your day by planting some tares up in there. But at the end of the day, you still win. And here we go again with this light. If he lifts you up on purpose, then you're already equipped and skilled to do what your life is purposed to do. Direct somebody else back to the light. If you want to find, if you want to find out why the moon shines at light, why the moon shines at night, if you want to find out why the moon shines at night, when you do your research, what will it point you back to? Mm-hmm. If I want to find out why you are smiling in the midst of your adversity, I need to go back. How are you happy and joyous in the midst of, because I'd be trying to cut somebody's tires or something. How are you able to do this? You need to go back to Jesus. And then they might be able to see so that they can stop stubbing their pinky toe of life. Man, we got a purpose. All right. 10:31. Next week we'll do the application. And I'm going to take a special note on verse 15, which is kind of what we've already talked about a little bit. But I'm going to spend a lot of time on the gospel, John, chapter 1, so we can really identify the light. And I also want to take a look at Christ's prayer in John 17. It talks about that revelation. We got work to do. Because there's some hard questions at the end of this lesson that ask, when's the last time you let your light shine? What are those opportunities where we see people who are struggling with things, and how do we respond? What has God revealed in us that we have the answer to? We have the answer to a lot of stuff that the Word of God has revealed to us, Christ in us. And we're not the only ones going through something. I'm really finding out in my Christian life that sometimes when I'm going through something, either God's trying to get my attention, or it's for me to be able to be used as a flashlight to show them how to get through what they're going through. All right?